Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. This is Dale Jackson welcoming you to the Lamp and Light broadcast, coming to you from the studios of Central Baptist Church in beautiful Ocala, Florida. Lamp and Light is a ministry. It takes a book of the Bible, verse by verse, teaching it as it is to men as they are, without compromise or apology. Speaking the truth in love is our purpose, and to give the lamp and light to all. Now, here is our teacher and pastor, Dr. Andy Bloom.
Yesterday in our study of Galatians 6, we were talking about the importance of the fact that Paul had written this epistle himself. Let's see what that means today. Now today, we begin with application against walking in false doctrine. And we see that in verses 11 through 16. Now understand, those who walk in the flesh will eventually walk in false doctrine. And we see that in verses 11 and 12. First, let's read verse 11. Ye see how large a letter I have written unto you with mine own hand. Now, that's important that he says that, and we'll see the why of that here in just a few moments. But he says, I've written you a large letter in my own hand, with mine own hand. And so we begin to see the importance of this thing before us. These folks knew about the apostles' eye problem. We saw that back in chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, where we read, and my temptation, which was in my flesh, ye despised not, nor rejected, but received me as an angel of God, even as Christ Jesus. Where is then the blessedness ye spake of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and had given them to me. Now, it was known that the apostle usually dictated the words the Holy Spirit gave him to someone to write. And so it's interesting in that point because the Holy Spirit breathed out every word and Paul would breathe out each word exactly to somebody who would write it for him. But here in Galatians, he writes it himself in large letters. Now, I know the feeling of that. Those familiar with the computer, New Times Roman, you know, that's the font, and I usually had a 12 font, and I always did my outlining in capital letters. Well, now I've got to do it in a 15 font, and every once in a while I even struggle with that. So I found that even with the way things were, my eyes continued to get worse. And so one day, my eyes will either close in death or they'll open and not be able to see a thing. And that's all right because everything is under God's control. Would love to have my sight, would love to have 20/20, but God has decided otherwise, and that's all right. Now, with Paul, though, this is another example of the fruit of the Spirit. Remember, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, as we've gone through the book of Galatians, one of the things that we've noticed, he can't really compliment them. But every epistle we read of Paul to a local church, it has a compliment in there for the church, and it's a true compliment. It's honest, and because it's of the Holy Spirit, it has to be true and honest. But here, there's no compliment in this book. And yet, there's a love in the apostle's heart given him by God for these people. And so, he undertakes to do this work, writing with his own hand. He writes it personally. This also emphasizes the importance of putting down this false doctrine of the Judaizers who had bewitched the Galatian church by adding circumcision and other works that were merely an outward show of the flesh. And so in verse 12 we read, as many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. Now, when we read that, we need to keep Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 3 and 4 in mind. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground, and sow not among the thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. You see, they're constraining people to be circumcised, but they don't want to suffer for the cause of Christ. I think of this when people are glorifying themselves, and I look at 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 17, where he says, but he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Isn't it interesting? We like to glory in numbers. I know many of us as pastors, preachers, we like to glory in numbers too much because it brings glory to us. I don't necessarily want a large number on Sunday, but I do want many souls to hear the word, be it for salvation, rededication, or edification in the word of God, that they might come unto the fullness of the stature of Christ. We must remove thorns and foreskins of the heart, both personally and in the church. That's why a pastor must take a stand. That's why he must preach on certain things. Now, in my own ministries, I've had to do some things. There was a time back in the late 70s that all of a sudden background music, tape music, we called it canned music back then. I'm not sure if they still call it that today. But they started playing, and it did sound nice, sound good, and a lot of it was good music. But then it started bringing in some of the rock sound and some other sounds, and then it got to the church. Even some of the churches would say, well, look, we're not going to bring the drums in, but then they'd bring in a bass guitar that put a beat in there that's even stronger than the drum. And so they got into the flesh on these things. And so finally had to say, look, here we are in a church, and we've got some people that say, well, our music's good, but, you know, we have some other people that their music's not good. And so let's just keep it to our background music. Well, I came up with an idea that beat that. Why not just stick with the piano and the other instruments that we have that are live and go with those? And then I did allow for them to use background music for cantatas, because cantatas, if they're right, are not filled with the rock beat or the beat-driven music. And I noticed that as we did that, some people got upset. You know, some of the people that liked the good, higher class music, you might say that, without the rock beat, got upset because I wouldn't let them use their backgrounds in church, but only the cantatas. Well, they were still going for a sound. They were still going to please their flesh instead of to honor the Lord. And so, yes, some people get unhappy with you, but you've got to endure. We had a children's program. If I said the name of the program, some of you would turn me off right now. Some of you would say, yeah, you should have done that. Others wouldn't have any idea that what I'm talking about. But it's not about that particular group with it. But they began to change for our children's program Bible versions. Now, one of the things important to us was Bible memorization. Then they begin bringing in new evangelical people, contemporary. And so I had one of our men in our church that worked in that ministry to do some checking with the home office. We found out that it was even worse than what we knew. And liberal churches were being brought into this children's program, and things were being changed so as not to really offend anybody. Well, it did offend God. I don't think they realized that, and offend people that were still true to the Word. And then they was changing their scriptural things, their scripture verses, their scripture version, and so forth. Then we had a teen group. And we had a teen thing that is national. If I said their name, you'd know it. They were kind of down on separation. They were down on pastoral leadership in the local church and would often tell your leaders, you know, it doesn't matter what your pastor says, you need to do this. And so we finally said, okay, those things are not biblical, those things that are against the local church, we'll kick them out, and we kicked them out. And yes, we lost some people with it, and you never want to lose people with those things, but sometimes you have to take a stand, just say, look, I don't care if every human on the planet Earth stands against me, I'm standing with God. Now, you'll find out not every human on the earth stands against you. Some will hate you. Some will say all manner of evil against you falsely for Christ's sake because they want the thing that appeals to their flesh. Many times these things, they're addicted to them and have no idea of the addiction, but it's an actual addiction for them. Now, when we look at the first half of our verse here in verse 12, they were trying to get this church, the local churches at Galatia, to try to get believers to be circumcised because they were mainly Gentiles. And so they thought, well, we need them circumcised. And this would be a public display of, boy, I got another one. And they would chalk up the number of, boy, look at how many I got converted to my way of thinking. And it would look good to all the churches and all their community. But as we see in Jeremiah, the Lord sees what they're doing, and he sees it as sowing among the thorns. You know, it's the same as being baptized to be saved instead of it being a result of, after you're saved, obeying the Lord and doing his first command after your salvation. Now, we looked up there earlier in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 3, he said to break up your fallow ground and not to sow among the thorns. Well, that's good advice, I think, don't you? And so he tells him, don't do that. I like that. He just tells him simply not to do it. But in verse 4 then of Jeremiah chapter 4, it shows that even in the law, especially when they had made their worship to look and sound in a way that would attract both the flesh, and you might say the millennials of their day, because you see that in Jeremiah chapter 42 through 44.
This is your radio pastor, Pastor Andy Bloom, saying, may the Word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway today.
We want to thank you for listening to the Lamp and Light broadcast. If you'd like a CD copy of today's message by Dr. Bloom, send us your name and mailing address and include the radio station by which you are listening and the date of the broadcast. We would appreciate a gift of $5 to Lamp and Light Broadcast, 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, Ocala, Florida, 34471. You may also visit us by our website and freely download the sermons by clicking on the sermon library. That site is www.centralbaptistocala.org. Again, the address of Lamp and Light Broadcast is 1714 Southeast 36th Avenue, OCALA, Florida, 34471. And our website is www.centralbaptistocala.org. This is your announcer, Dale Jackson, saying, may God's peace be with all who are in Christ Jesus.
My feet on his firm foundation, for the Bible stands. I will plant my feet on its firm foundation, for the Bible stands.